السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. مفتي حسن علي سليمان, hope you well this morning.
وعليكم السلام. الحمد لله. Things are fine. I'm a little bit nervous because we're expecting to have lots of rain. And that will set a lot of things back here in Karachi, that's for sure. And all through Sindh, there's expected more rain. So we may do all for the best.
Allah make it easy. What's the effects around in your surrounding areas as we speak? Was there with regards to the floods in there?
Well, we've had drizzle. We had flooding in our area, and after the rains left, now the roads are in very bad condition. And there'll be no time to fix that before these more rains come. So that's where we got the worst of it in my area. Okay, the roads are just falling apart. I take the rickshaw to go home, and we're bouncing and bumping all around the way. But that's better than Punjab, where entire villages got wiped out. So we can't complain over here.
Allah make it easy. I read 2 million people are displaced.
And this was on, out of 240 million, huh?
Okay, that's 240 million.
So 240 million in Pakistan and 2 million are displaced. That's something. All right, 1%, about 1%. It was widespread. And it's a lot like New York. Even the villages are, you may have a village, it's small, but there's a lot of people within the village. All right, because every family, has, 6 children, and, they got cousins and in-laws and this and that. It's not as bad as Karachi. Karachi, we had 20 million here. Approximately. No one really knows how many people are here in Karachi. And no one knows how many legal people are here. So we have another little problem of people, from Afghanistan especially, and from Burma and from Bangladesh and other places that wish they could be someplace else, but they can't. So we have those type of people here also, and their families.
And some people from New York City.
We won't talk about them. They're low-key. But there's only one of them.
But they're legal.
The one and only.
They've got visas and they're legal.
I'm a one and only person, all right? No family or anything like that. So, Alhamdulillah, we're trying our best.
Alhamdulillah.
We want to establish the Port Elizabeth office. We want to establish it here in Karachi. We want to be the whip of a certain Maulana. We want to be his whip here in Karachi. Whip the people in shape, inshallah.
Yeah, we won't give too many details so that there's no threat before the actual whipping.
Thank you very much. You saved my life. You see what happened to Imran Khan's sister? She gives a talk, and people are throwing eggs at her. And these are her political party supporters. These are not another party. It's her party, PTI. She gives a speech and they throw eggs at her.
I'm saying inna lillah because she wants to be the leader, and this is the, not for the eggs. The eggs is sort of like the punishment. But I recall in school when we were in primary school, so now we're going to high school, so it's two different buildings in two completely different sections of the same area. So you've got primary school and high school. So when you go to high school, so you start off in grade 8. I'm not sure America how it works, but grade 8. Before, it used to work with standards, and then they did away with that, and they moved to grades now. So it's grade 8. As soon as we enter, everyone warns us that the matriculants, because they grade 12, and they've got certain levels of authority. They've been there for so many years. So when they're on the upper level, so there's 3 floors and then the ground floor. So we mostly walk on the ground floor. So they always tell us, don't walk on the open areas, walk under the slabs so that you do not get thrown with eggs and all the rest. Because, and the school used to allow it. They never used to take them to task, because they felt they have this authority. And they used to call it somewhat what we say in Tasawuf, Isla. So they're making our Isla for entering high school. That's what they sort of call it. And so they would do crazy things like this. But alhamdulillah, I had a few friends in grade 12. And they were like always kind to me and, you know, nice to me for, I don't know what agenda. You know, everyone's got an agenda. But they used to protect me, and they used to say, nobody can touch you. And so alhamdulillah for that. But the other students, I know what it is like to throw eggs or being thrown at with an egg. And there's a strange custom here in South Africa, which we can address at this particular time. Where I don't know if it's also there in Pakistan. But here in South Africa, when someone's getting married, so both sides, the men's side and the bride's side and the groom's side, they will have a particular day. Most likely it's Friday night. It just depends when the couple is getting married. So Friday night. So it's a whole week of, you know, parties, and Thursday night they just then stamp the halal sign with a khatam or something. But then thereafter, next day is back to partying. Friday night is the bride. And after the bride, you have... You sort of buy all these eggs, flour, and the rest, your ammunition. And amongst family members, it's like a fun night for them. So they start to throw each other with eggs, flour, the rest. And it's everyone gets involved, and it's part of like one of the rituals before you get married now. And it's how much of wastage goes into that. That's the tragedy of it. And that's another time people get thrown at with eggs. So before you get married, and especially the groom or the bride, they get a solid, what you will say, a whooping with eggs and the rest. And you know when you whoop the eggs? So that's the night that they have. And what a wastage. Then Saturday they have the nikah. So there everyone's looking Muslim, Islamic in the masjid. Sometimes they won't, but most of the time. Thereafter, the kurta is thrown out. And then the suit jackets looking like Satan Yahoo and Joe Genocide with the ties and the suits and the rest. And then the whole wedding again, the whole ceremony again is back to Christian ways, you know, where the father walks the daughter in. And all of these silly rituals which we've just followed so much. So I just wanted to ask you, do you also have this in Pakistan? The night before you get married, you have these kind of prayers and throwing eggs and all the rest.
I never heard of the throwing the eggs. But there are rituals that are done here that I think they're close to Hindu rituals. What I've been told is, just before the wedding, the bride and her sisters and mother and what have you, they all have to wear new dresses, for 1 week. All right, every day they wear a different dress, not their wedding dress, but a brand new dress. Okay, and then there's the one big party is the Mehendi party. Okay, where you get all your whole hands and arms and sometimes your feet done in henna. Again, the bride and her sisters and maybe mother and what have you. That's the big thing. Millions of rupees just on the Mehendi party. Okay, that's done, you know, like in a hotel or a marriage garden. Okay, lots of people are there, and lots of eating and laughing and dancing and what have you. That's the big things. The throwing eggs, I don't know about. Maybe it happens here, but I don't know anything about that. We did that in America as children on Halloween. Okay, but it wasn't done much because we didn't have money to buy eggs. You know, eggs are expensive. So, yeah, we may buy, one person may buy 3 or 4 eggs and, you know, get on the roof maybe and throw it at the bus or throw it at some people from another high school or something like that. But not too much. Not in school, definitely not. Your principals will throw you out. But it will be after school, only on Halloween. Okay, and not too many people could do it because no one could afford a lot of eggs. So it wasn't that big. And if our parents found out, they would kill us. Okay, because you're talking about wastage. You know, we don't have money, that much money as it is, and now you're going to buy food and then you're not going to eat it? You're going to throw it? No, that didn't go over too well either.
At least you had that much.
Even if it wasn't your parents that saw you, but a neighbor who's like the same age as your mother or father, they would tell on you that I saw your son throwing eggs and what have you. So your mother and your father will find out eventually that you did that, and it wouldn't go over too well.
I enjoy these unexpected, unplanned topics. So I'm thinking now, what do we name this particular discussion? Being thrown at with the egg, and we could just bring in this year to I don't know how could we get the news to the squatters in Israel to tell them that, you know what, next time you see Netanyahu, because they are so angry with him anyways. There's been major threats. I don't know if you've seen it. Times of Israel had reported it, and they said there's 2 soldiers which are participating on the battlefield. Yesterday we've seen 4 terrorists were put down. One person yesterday, 2 people, Palestinians, they took machine guns and they went into this bus filled with squatters and they just opened fire and they killed about 6 of them and injured I don't know how many more. So anyways, Israel is now saying we're going to take major revenge on this and all of the rest. But they've been taking revenge all the time. What revenge? They gave you a home, they gave you a place, and you say you're taking revenge. They're supposed to be taking revenge, if anything. But nonetheless, this would be a good idea. But the problem is Netanyahu doesn't come out in the open. And they've been protesting, like last weekend, they've been protesting outside his house. So 2 mothers of 2 abducted soldiers, they came out and they said, if my son dies, you will pay a heavy price and you will never ever have peace in your life, the one said. The other one, she also gave and she said, beware of the mother's curse and beware of this, my oppressed son, and my curse is upon you. So just beware of all these, and a few other statements as well. And I wonder if egg would go down well.
How many thousands of Palestinian mothers have been killed as well as their children? So he's got a lot of curses on him. one or two Jewish mothers want to curse him, but how many thousands of Palestinians want to curse him for all the murdering he's doing? I this is hypocritical. The majority of the Jews, they believe that what is being done is correct, and it should continue to be done until every Palestinian is wiped out. That's the majority. So I believe that the protests are only from the people who have the hostages in their family.
Yes.
All right. The majority of the Jews, they feel what he's doing is correct. And they agree with him, And it shouldn't stop. Nauzu billah, it shouldn't stop until everybody is completely eliminated. Mm.
And Mufti Sahib, you were alive during, I think, our, yes, definitely you were alive during, because you mentioned it many times, of our South African apartheid. But your personal experiences as well. I've seen over this past few weeks the level of humiliation that any Israeli, wherever they are in the world, if they're going to perform as a singer, I've seen in Poland, the article, we've read it, and we put it on the news as well. So the singer is performing there, and whilst performing, it was interesting. It was sort of a planned situation where they had about three or four people. So the one said he'll take in a paint. Now, I don't know what he used, a paintball. We used to use paintball guns before. What did he use? But he threw some paint at the singer while performing on stage. And it was red paint. And his old shirt and everything was messed. So what happened was the guards, they then got together and they went and they charged for him to take him out. So whilst they did this, another lady jumps on the stage. These are not Muslims. It's a concert. Another woman jumps on the stage with a Palestinian flag. And now the guards are confused because they all ran for this man. And now this lady is on the stage with a Palestinian flag. So then some had to run after her. And it was just, it was chaotic. And it was also comical as well because people do these things. And wherever they go, there's just humiliation. To the point that they mentioned in Spain for the cycle, they had some competition. They said, we're not having any Israeli cyclists. Or if they're coming, they mustn't show any signs of it because it's going to turn out really ugly for them. So wherever they're walking at the moment, it's just humiliation upon humiliation. And alhamdulillah, we're seeing more soldiers dying. We make shukr so that this can increase as well. But I still think that the protesters must use eggs upon Netanyahu.
not that will help. But the Jews, they've been under the curse of, Suleiman and Isa alayhi salam, or Dawood and Isa alayhi salam in the Quran. It says that they cursed them. Their own prophets cursed them. And then when they came to Medina, before the Prophet arrived, and they bragged about how they were going to destroy the Mushrikeen with the help of their final prophet that was coming. And then when the Prophet came, and he was an Arab, and they didn't follow him, so Allah cursed them. Okay, so Allah has been cursing them for a long time, and they've been under the curse of Allah, and so that's just a reflection of it. It wasn't that bad in America when we were protesting South Africa. They were white, okay, South Africans were white, and we black people, we could do a boycott, and it has some effect because eventually the apartheid government came down. But here with the Jews, it's a little bit different because you can't attack them. There's laws in America that you cannot boycott Israel. Okay, some states have laws. If you boycott Israel, then you cannot get some federal assistance, like if you had a hurricane and your house was destroyed. And so FEMA, the name of the federal group is called FEMA, will come and try to, you know, fix things for you and what have you. But if you've joined the boycott against Israel, you won't get any help. Okay, but that wasn't the case, you know, with South Africa. It's much more political, okay, much more sensitive. But alhamdulillah, because of social media, and that what I sent you the other day about what Israel has done for the last 77 years, okay, has been exposed right now. And that's done more than what the Palestinians have been able to say. Mm. And the people listen to it. Yasser Arafat and Abbas and all the other people saying that Israel was doing this and doing that, and nobody believed them because allegedly they were terrorists. But now you see how so many people have been starved to death and what have you. It's much different. It's much different.
Exactly. Allah Azza wa Jal says, سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, that we gradually spur them on to the point that they do not know. So they think everything is going smooth. But now you've seen and we continue to witness that sometimes I'm confused. I go into Times of Israel. Yesterday I went onto it. And I think about what you told me the last time, where slowly the narratives are changing to such an extent that even their headlines, when you look at it face value, it looks like it's in our favor. But of course, then when you go in, you've got to scratch out, sift out what's right, what's wrong. But how many articles like this I can give you when you just go into their website? So it looks like it's in our favor. But I think about what I asked you the previous time, and it fits in and makes so much of sense, where I said to you, Piers Morgan, he came out and he actually sort of apologized to Mahdi. And, you know, Mahdi comes out with strong arguments in refutation. Shia is a kuffar, we say that openly. But Piers Morgan apologized to him on this particular aspect of the genocide. And I asked you then that why would he, when he's so in bed with the Zionists and the rest? And you made a good point there. You said because the amount of clicks, it lessens when now you are giving a narrative which is becoming sort of strange now. Initially, you may have said, or others may have said, that this year is not common. So you had to give the opposite, the Jewish side of things. But now it's changed so much, as you've said just now as well, that this is... You have to catch and to get listeners, you have to sort of give in a little bit, and then you'll also get people clicking and listening to what you have to say. Otherwise, you're losing out on listenership, boycotting. So it makes sense to that extent.
Yeah, he was losing listeners, Piers Morgan, okay? After people were finding out that... the Jews were absolutely wrong, okay? And you'd hear, you know, you read about people saying, I'm not going to listen to that anymore. There's no sense in listening to Piers Morgan. He's just one-sided for the Jews and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, when that is out and everybody knows that he's in this direction, so they're not going to look at his program anymore, then, yes, he has to change direction. Right, like many other, independent people, they've done, and you have the independent people who are also on the side of the Palestinians, which was never there before. The things have changed a little bit, but they haven't helped. Okay, they haven't helped. They haven't helped on the ground with the killing, but Israel is not looked at the same as it has been for the last 70 years or so. Looked like they were the victim, okay, even though they're the only one in the Middle East that has a nuclear weapon. And they've been able to always defeat their enemy, okay, but yet they're still begging America for money. Yeah. The good thing is that a couple of congressmen have come out and said in America, we will not accept money from AIPAC. Okay? And this is totally unheard of. Mm. Okay? As long as I've been alive, this has never been heard of. Mm. Okay? Again, the only time Democrats and Republicans can agree on anything is that is on Israel. Mm. Okay? Israel must be helped. They are defenseless. They are the only democracy in that area. They are our only friend. They will help us protect our interests, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. So this woman from, Congresswoman from North Carolina, I think she is from, she's putting bills in, amendments, in the bills that will take away funding for Israel and for Ukraine, military funding. And she believes that America is $37 trillion in debt, and Israel is able to fight their own wars, and they shouldn't take money from our taxpayers, and they should fight their own battles, because they've shown that, number one, they have nuclear power, and number two, that they're able to destroy their enemies, okay, and they're in better financial condition in their society than America is. America's $37 trillion, and Israel is less than $1 billion in debt. They're pretty much on board. So she mentioned the fact that in Israel, they have government-funded medical care and government-funded for college. If you want to go to university in Israel, the Israeli government will pay for it. Okay, now you know that's unheard of in America. Okay, so she's saying if their economy is in that kind of condition, then why are we giving them so much money when we have so many problems here in America?
Exactly. Yes.
So again, that kind of statement, I've never heard in my life about Israel from an American politician. All right. So in that way, yes, it is changing, and people are looking at Israel in a different light.
Yes.
Okay. But again, they didn't know. They just didn't know. When I was a child, there's a couple of things you could not speak about on the air. One of them was about who killed John F. Kennedy. Okay. Later it was a walk on the moon. All right. You have to believe that. The Holocaust, you had to believe these type of things. And if you spoke against that, you were a conspiracy theorist and you were thrown off of television. But now there's so many different channels and different people who are exposing what's happening with Israel that people are just now waking up. So the young people, they are not pro-Israel like their parents and grandparents are.
Yes.
So that, I think it was Mehdi Hassan, I think it was him or it was another commentator. They said, so for this reason, Israel is trying to do what they do within the next 5 to 10 years. Okay, they're trying to wipe out, you know, all their opposition and make the greater Israel and try to make it a reality within the next 5 to 10 years, because maybe 10 to 20 years, all the older people like myself, I'm 70 years old, we will all die off, okay? And with my generation and my mother, who's still alive at 96, pro-Israel, okay? But people my son's age are anti-Israel, and they will be voting, okay? And the pro-Israels will, you know, be dying out.
Yes.
So they won't be getting the help from America that they're getting now.
Hmm.
So the belief is that they're going to try to get rid of Gaza and take the West Bank and take Lebanon and take, you know, what they want from Syria. Do it all in the next 5 to 10 years, because after that, it'll be difficult to get support from America.
Hmm.
That was an interesting thought.
Mufti, we going to carry on with this tomorrow, inshallah. Interesting comments. And another one, just a quick question from one of the listeners. Maybe we can spill this over into tomorrow's segment. Who is APEC? And maybe you can explain this to us tomorrow. Mufti Saab, Jazakumullah khairan for your time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.